Get ready to open the word. Lord, thank you for giving us this time gathered with you this morning. Lord, we offer this time back to you for your will to be done and for you to show us you through your word today. We pray that you would do that and be glorified in it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All right, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 a little this morning, as well as some passages in John 14, 15, 16. Just have your Bible ready. We're just going to cover a little ground this morning. So, this will be our next to the last week in our series that we've been in. One more week after this week. So you don't want to miss the conclusion next week, I think. I've got a little bit of leading from the Lord for what that is. So I think it's going to be a good thing. So check that out next week. But this is the next to the last in our Renew series. I was working in my office on the message a day or two ago, and in the Word, and I heard a ruckus outside. And it sounded like a bunch of kids' voices. And our house sits on about an acre, so usually we don't really hear kids too much. We live in a cul-de-sac, though. And there were some kids riding bikes, because the neighborhood kids, it's kind of a safe place to ride their bikes on our cul-de-sac there. There's not much traffic. And it was just neat to hear the kids out laughing and playing and riding their bikes out there, which reminded me of when I was little and used to ride my bike with my older brother. We lived in Grant County and lived outside of Marion in a neighborhood out there. And there was a couple little towns nearby, one of those towns called Hanfield. Do you guys know Hanfield, anybody? No, easy to miss. The only things I remember being in Hanfield was maybe a dozen houses, maybe less. There was a Methodist church, which our family attended. And then there was also like a tiny general store. And it's like the literal smallest general store I've ever seen in my life. But they had penny candies, and they had cold soft drink. And my brother and I, we would save up our allowance, and we would ride our bikes and go to the little store there, which was, I think, about a mile and a half or so from our house. And on the old one-speed bicycles that we had, made from good, solid American steel, they were really super heavy, so you didn't get anywhere fast on these bikes. It took a while, and it took some effort to get to that store. And we would get hot and sweaty, and it was really usually an adventure to go there on a warm day. And I remember times where my chain of my bike would come off and get caught up in the spokes. Did you guys ever have that happen? Yeah, have you kids ever had that happen on your bike yet, where the chain comes off? You probably have a good bike. Yeah, it doesn't happen. Oh, okay, it happens on mom's bike. But sometimes the chain would fall off, or I remember times, because the roads out there was a lot of gravel roads, and riding a bike on a loose gravel road, it can be kind of crazy. I remember times my tires going out from underneath me and wrecking in the gravel. And there was one time that there was a bull in a meadow that kind of ran along the fence and chased us and scared us half to death. So sometimes it was kind of a scary, tiresome, challenging bike ride, but we still would keep going because there was this great destination where we'd go and get like a grape knee high, or we'd get a Coke or a Green River, you know, like a cold, like glass, not the can. You had to get the glass. We'd get the glass bottle, and it was so good. You know, it's just like, this is just a, you know, a little bit of paradise for a kid who, we didn't keep that stuff in my house. So for us, it was a huge deal to get something like that. It took endurance, you know, it took endurance to keep pedaling. I was a scrawny, tiny, little guy. And it was tough. It was challenging to make that bike ride sometimes and go to the general store and get some pop or, you know, candy or whatever we'd get. Hebrews 12 in verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Fix your eyes on Jesus. Look to Jesus as your example, so that you don't grow weary or faint-hearted here in the Christian life. You know, no matter how fatigued we get or weary. And there are times in the Christian life that it's hard. Now, I tell folks, I know people who are going through difficulties sometimes who are not believers, and I've had conversations with them. They say, well, would all this go away? You know, would this not happen in my life if I follow Jesus? And I can say honestly, well, maybe, but maybe not. You know, even for believers, we go through a lot of challenges and heartache and difficulty. But I can tell you this, as somebody who spent some years of adult life younger, going through things without Christ and then going through a lot of trials and tribulations with Christ, it's a whole lot better going through it with Him. It's night and day difference going through it with the hope that we have in Christ when we go through challenges with Christ, and that there is a joy and a hope and a peace in the midst of difficulty and heartache and tribulations. With Christ, we have that. So it's better to run with endurance looking to Jesus. So if you guys ever, am I the only one who's had difficulties? Have you guys ever experienced difficulties? No. Yeah, even younger people, right? Maybe a little bit, a hassle. Yeah. You know, life in this world, sometimes we get in relationships, we get hurt by people, or sometimes we do the hurting and we need forgiven, right? Sometimes we say something mean and there's times that it's very difficult. But we are on a road to a heavenly home. You know, there is a destination waiting for us where all of that heartache and tears and wounds and those things aren't there. In that place, it is a place where there's no sin or consequences of sin, no division, no divisiveness, no hatred. And Jesus, though, wants us to have hope to carry on in this race, to run with endurance and have hope to continue as we go to that wonderful destination. So this morning, we're going to recognize four things that the Lord has given to us. He's given to His disciples four things that will give us hope, a hope that's going to help us to run with endurance the race that's set before us. So I'm going to go ahead and mention these four things, and then we'll move along. So those four things, we're going to talk about the person of hope. God has given us the person of hope. God's given us the helper. Over and over again, the Lord said, I'm going to send my Spirit. I'm going to give you an advocate. I'm going to give you a helper to be with you and to be in you. I'm not going to leave you alone. You have a helper with you on this journey. The Lord has also given us the place of hope. He tells us about this heavenly destination, that this world is not your home. There is a destination coming that's wonderful. The Lord's also given us a provision of hope. A provision of hope. And that provision of hope is the certainty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And our eternal destiny is tied to that provision of the resurrection of Jesus. The provision of hope. And He's also given us a promise of hope. A promise of hope for everyone who belongs to Christ Jesus. Everybody who will put their trust and believe in Jesus, belonging to Him, you can be certain. You can have that hope of certainty. That you have eternal life. You have eternal life with Him. So first of all, the person of hope, the Holy Spirit. This is wonderful news. And some of you older saints, you know, maybe you've known this most of your life, but I can remember years as a young Christian hearing about the Holy Spirit, and I didn't really understand that the Holy Spirit as a person, he's not just like the force out there somewhere, but I have the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is with me and in me. And part of the difficulty that we have sometimes is that we operate on feelings a lot. And there are times I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and there's times I don't feel. But we know that we have the Holy Spirit because the Word of God tells us we do. And sometimes we feel that, and sometimes we don't. I can tell you that even as many of the riches of heaven are received as we have faith and believe, you know, if you want to receive of God, you need to believe Him. You need to take Him at His word. That when I take God at His word about the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life, it really helps me to see His presence in my life and to feel His presence in my life. So we need to believe and take God at His word that we have a comforter, that we have a helper in our life, and we have Him to help us have hope. And John, we're going to look at a few passages here in John 14 and 15, especially. But Jesus is instructing his disciples. He's having this discourse with his disciples, and he's told them that he's going to be leaving. He's been very clear that he's going to be crucified, that he will be gone, but he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Even though one of you is going to betray me, even though one of you is going to deny me three times, even though you're going to have difficulties and trials and tribulations, even though the world's going to hate you because they hated me, you're going to have a helper with you. It's going to be okay. There's going to be a helper, the Holy Spirit, who has been with you and will be in you. So he wants to make it very clear, listen, the path forward is going to be difficult. There's going to be trials and tribulations if you belong to me, but take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world, and I will give you the Holy Spirit to be with you. John 14, verses 16 through 18. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. The world operates by what they can see, not by faith. They don't see him or know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, Jesus says. So when you feel unsure about the truth, you've got a helper to guide you in the truth. When you feel unsure, you have doubts about something in the Word of God, you've got a helper to speak truth and to help you discern and understand what the Word means and apply it in your life, and to give you what you need to do that and to walk in the truth. You've got a helper. You are not an orphan. You are not alone, no matter what you're going through. And you need to, and I need to have help and hope from the Holy Spirit. So we need to keep that in mind and ask for that help and that hope that we need. In verses 26 and 27 here in John 14, Jesus continued, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he is going to teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So when you've got a family member who is unfortunately believing some things that the culture is promoting that's not truth, that doesn't jive with the Word of God, and you're wondering, how can I don't want to break ties with this person, but how can I speak truth to them? How can I share what the Word of God says? Well, you've got a helper. The Word of God says that you have the Holy Spirit that's going to bring to remembrance what Jesus has said, to give you from Scripture the truth that you need to speak to that person. You have help for that. We're surrounded by a lot of folks who have some really wonky worldviews that believe a lot of crazy things. And we need to have mercy and grace toward those folks, because I'm not perfect in my thinking either. But at the same time, along with that love and mercy and grace that we have for people, in love, we need to speak truth. And the Holy Spirit helps us in that. So when you're getting ready to have an uncomfortable conversation with somebody and your heart is unsettled and you're just fearful about it, Pray that the Lord would help you to communicate in a way that is in love, because God loves that person. But at the same time, pray and ask the Holy Spirit, give me whatever from your word that you want me to share, and that I would communicate that clearly and with compassion, but also with conviction and calm. In John 15, verse 26, Jesus continued in this discourse. He says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. He will bear witness about me. So whatever season you're in, listen, maybe you're in a season right now where life is pretty easy. Things are going pretty smooth for you right now. The road is paved. It's not gravel. You're not wiping out and getting cuts and wounds. Or maybe it's a time that's very difficult, but whatever it is, you can look to the Holy Spirit to strengthen your faith and to give you hope no matter what you're dealing with. Secondly, God reveals to us a place of hope. A place of hope, our heavenly home. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Jesus has been busy and is busy. He is preparing a wondrous place beyond anything that we can imagine. The most beautiful thing about it is he's there, his presence, his glory. But a wonderful place, and he says that he will come back for those who were his. Whether it is the rapture and it's everybody all together, or whether a bus doesn't see Pastor James on his way home and I get to see the Savior before you do, he's prepared a place. Isn't that wonderful? He has prepared a place of joy and love and life and beauty, where there's no death and decay and sorrow. A wonderful place. And he tells us, you are on your way in this world. No matter what you're dealing with today, you are on your way to that place. You've got that destination guaranteed as somebody who is a follower of Jesus, who's trusting in him. It's wonderful news. It's hopeful news. Anybody like The Wizard of Oz? One of my favorite movies growing up. Yeah, do kids still watch Wizard of Oz? Yeah, you guys watch? Yeah, Esther, the kids watch Wizard of Oz? They like it? Yeah, you guys still a fan? It's still magical? Yeah? Yeah. Great movie. I remember it would come on usually like once a year. And looking forward to that, it was like, I don't think we knew in advance, but if I could have marked it on a calendar when I was 7 years old, I would have. Because that was just like a super big deal, baking a big thing of popcorn and watching The Wizard of Oz. And so many great memorable lines in that. But I remember at the end there where Dorothy, and she's clicking her heels and saying, there's no place like home. No place like home. You know, I think most of us have that kind of ingrained in us, that we feel that way. You know, there's no place like home, even in this world. You know, we see that in the Bible frequently. Adam and Eve cast out of home, right? Cast out of the garden. They're grieved by that. That's a tough thing. You know, prodigal son in a far country, and thinking, you know, it's better to be a servant at home than to be away from home. There's something about home. You guys ever do any horseback riding? I don't know if it's just the amateur rookie horses I've ridden on, but you know what happens when you get within sight of the barn on a horse? They go fast. Yeah, if you've ever ridden horses much, at least the ones I've ridden, they see home, they're excited, and they're just like, hold on, because they want to get there. You know, we can rejoice today and have great hope today that before long, guess what? The veil of this life's going to be torn away and we're going to see home. I don't know if I'm going to be able to run in that condition or not, but as quick as I can go, I'm in. It's going to be wonderful. And it's going to last forever. A place of purity and beauty and holiness and goodness. How do you feel about that? I mean, I'm excited. I'm really excited. It's good for the Lord has reasons for me to be here. I'm glad to be here, but man, I can't wait to get home. It's going to be wonderful. And that should fill our hearts with hope that home's coming. We're going to be there. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Home is waiting. And that should give us hope no matter what we're going through here. You know what? This isn't home. It's okay. I'm just passing through. Pretty soon I get to be home. It's going to be great. Number three, the Lord has given us a provision of living hope. A provision of living hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15 in your Bibles, or you can see the slides, Lord willing, if I got the slide on there right. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you now stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And I don't think that they did. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. It's the gospel. The gospel. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus died on the cross, paying for all of our sins, that he was buried, he was raised to life on the third day. And it is God's provision that we would hope in the certainty of that, not only in this life, but forever. Forever. Jump forward to verse 19 there, 1 Corinthians 15. If in Christ we have hope only in this life, we of all people are to be most pitied. You know, throughout the Scriptures, we see this close link between sin and death. Sin and separation from God. Jesus on the cross, he defeated sin. He dealt with our sin problem. And in his resurrection, he dealt with our death problem. He gave us assurance, hey guys, you have a share in this. You have eternal life as well. Verse 20, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Paul didn't want the Corinthians to be weak in their hope or soft in their hope in Jesus. He wanted them to know, guys, this isn't just wishful thinking to help you make it through a tough day. This is a sure, eternal, certain hope that you have in Christ. And he said that the first fruits, this first fruits imagery, it's a reference to in the Old Testament where the people would give the first of their crops as an offering to God, offering it to the Lord. And he said, just as that was in anticipation, they give this first fruits to the Lord in anticipation of a great harvest that's coming. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a first fruits. It's a anticipation of this bountiful harvest of resurrection for all of you. That your resurrection is certain because Christ's resurrection is certain. Because it's connected. Jesus' resurrection, it is a first fruits in anticipation of the resurrection of all who belong to Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to explain here what the first fruits mean in this imagery. Verse 21, for as by a man came death, by a man also comes resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. So Paul's explaining, he said, listen, you had an association in your flesh, in your sin nature. You had this connection with Adam, and that meant death for you. But now all those in Christ are going to have a share in resurrection. You are going to participate in this wonderful harvest of resurrection. Jesus' resurrection is a pledge from God. It is a promise. It is a guarantee that the resurrection power that rose Jesus from the dead, that same resurrection power, it is to follow for you, that you are going to be raised to life. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, wrote, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Brothers and sisters, what an amazing provision of living hope that God has given us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says it is an everlasting hope. It is a pure hope. It is a hope that is secured by God. That's wonderful. That means on my bad days, my hope is secure. I'm not going to blow the promise of eternal life with Jesus. That means that when I am faithless on a day, and I wonder how in the world would the Lord still want to keep this promise to me? We have a guarantee. The Bible says it is guarded. It is kept in heaven for you, secured by the Lord. So who is it? Is this everybody who should have this hope? Well, not yet. Verse 23. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, Christ resurrected first, and then in his coming, those who belong to Christ. A fourth hope that we have, the hope of the promise. For those who belong to Jesus. For those who belong to Jesus. Every person who belongs to Jesus Christ will be resurrected to life. There's another resurrection for those who don't belong to Jesus, to punishment, but that's another sermon. Belonging to Jesus, that's the key. That's the key. Mark 1, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Repent and believe in the gospel. If you want to have that security, if you want to have that hope, if you want to have that absolute guarantee from God that you belong to Him, repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repentance means that you're going to turn away from living independently of God. You're not going to run after sin anymore. You're not going to run after your self-will anymore. You're not going to run after the things of this world and the things of the flesh anymore. You're going to turn to God and acknowledge Him as God. Your life belonging to Him. Your identity belonging to Him. All that you are belonging to Him. And then you're going to put your trust in the gospel. You're going to believe the gospel message. You're going to believe the good news that Jesus has dealt with your sin and your death, that Jesus has taken all of your sin, past, present, and future, upon Himself. The wrath of God has poured out on that already. Justice has been met. And that if you will believe, if you will take Jesus at His word, that it's a done deal. If you will trust in Him, you will be saved. You'll be saved. Your future is secure. You can have life in Christ. That gives me a wonderful hope. That gives me a wonderful to know that I belong to Jesus. And that's His doing and not mine. Your future is secure. Do you have that hope today? Do you have that hope today? Do you know that you have at some moment made a decision of the will? Whatever your words were, however you articulated it, but you turned to God and acknowledged Him as God and asked for His forgiveness and put your trust in Jesus. Have you done that? Best decision I've ever made. I've never met a human being who regretted doing that, ever, and I never will. It's the best decision you can make. Put your trust in Christ. It is in Jesus that we have to believe. We have to call upon His name. The Bible says there's no other name that you can call on. There's no other way to be saved. There's no other path. The only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. The only way to that heavenly home is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 37 to 40, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." That's wonderful news. Wonderful news. And it's an invitation. It's an invitation for anybody. Whosoever will believe, whosoever will come to the Lord, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what anybody thinks about you or says about you, this is an invitation for everybody to come to Jesus Christ and believe. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. Don't think you need to get yourself cleaned up. You can't. You come to Him as you are. His payment for your sin, everything, has already been placed upon Him. I'm going to pray for us, and worship team, you're welcome to come back up when you're ready. Lord Jesus, thank you for the wonderful hope that you give your people on this journey through this world to our heavenly home. Thank you for the wonderful hope that you give us in a multitude of ways, including the hope that you give us as your Spirit abides in your people. And we're encouraged by our brothers and sisters today. I want to thank you, Lord, for the young lady who stopped and knocked on the door this morning when Mark and I were coming in and just said, "Jesus loves you and wants you to be encouraged," and gave us a gift and a card this morning. Somebody we'd never met. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the hope that you give. And thank you, Lord, for the hope that you give to sinners who haven't come to you yet for salvation, that they can. That it's not too late, that the offer's for everyone. But Lord, you make it clear in your word, it's a limited time offer, that this world is winding down. Lord, we pray for those who haven't trusted in you yet, in your mercy, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself. Help each one see their need for you, Father. Help each one to know that Jesus is the way. Give them the gift of repentance and faith, Lord, we pray. Be glorified in it. In Jesus' name we ask.